Hi there, and welcome to this episode of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Maya from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how to safely help your chicks transition from chicks to growing pullets and cockerels. Now, I know a lot of you out there got chicks this spring, and you want your chickens to do things like go outside to forage safely and that sort of thing. And you probably have questions like, when can I expect an egg? So I wanted to give you answers to all of your questions in this episode. So stay with me. Now, before we begin, this episode is sponsored by Manipro Poultry. There's a particular reason why I've partnered with Manipro, and that's because I believe their products are top of the line. As your chickens grow, their dietary needs are going to change. Manipro Poultry has a line of organic chicken feeds for every stage of your hen's life. So, as your chicks grow into pullets, consider offering Manipro's organic grower crumbles. If you're the kind of person who's short on time and wants a feeding solution that you know will give your hens all the nutrition that they need so that they can grow up to be healthy and happy, then these grower crumbles are going to make your life simpler and your hens are going to thank you for it. The other reason I partner with Manipro is because they now offer a full array of nesting boxes, hen treats, coop rakes, and a ton of other products that you might need for your chickens. In particular, I love their nesting boxes. These are the Harris Farm nesting boxes that you might see at a feed store or at Amazon. I personally use these nesting boxes, and they're excellent. As your pullets grow into layers, you're going to need nesting boxes. That's just part of keeping chickens. You can definitely make them yourself, but if you're not a handy person, or if you're like me and it's hard to get your husband to make anything for you, such as a nesting box, and if you're looking for a simple but stylish nesting box, then check out the Harris Farms nesting boxes at thefrugalchicken.com/nestingboxes. Now, let's talk about how to raise healthy chicks so that they become healthy layers. The first thing that you're going to need to be concerned about is what you're going to feed them. So chicks obviously need an 18% starter feed, but once they become about 10 weeks old and they start to grow feathers, you know, they feathered out and their down is gone, you're going to want to transition them to a 16% grower feed. Now, again, don't confuse this with a 16% layer feed. Those are very different things. They have about the same nutritional content, but the difference is that a layer feed has extra calcium in it, and you don't want your pullets getting that. You want to make sure that you're giving them a 16% grower feed. And when you go to the feed store, if you're not sure which one to get, just look for a product that says either, you know, a grower feed, or it might say an all flock feed. So you're going to want to start giving this around week 10. And what you're going to do is when your chicks are small, you want to offer them grain around the clock. But once your chicks start turning into pullets and young cockerels, a young cockerel is a young rooster in case you didn't know, you're only going to want to feed them during the day. They're not going to need it 24 hours like they, you know, did when they were chicks. So you can offer it during the day and then remove it at night. Now, another thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to start to offer grit. If you had chicks that were eating, you know, things outside, you're going to want to offer grit back then also. But if you've only been feeding your chicks a starter ration, then you're going to want to start offering grit as your pullets start to go outside and they start to hunt and peck for whatever. The grit is going to help them digest whatever they pick up outside. So if they pick up rocks or bugs or seeds or whatever they happen to pick up outside to eat, the grit is going to help them digest it. Now, I said if they pick up rocks, the chickens don't actually digest rocks, but I misspoke there. But if they're picking up seeds or bugs or, you know, whatever they happen to find out there, they might happen to find a toad to eat, they're going to need the grit to help them digest that. Now, you can offer a adult-sized grit, or you can also offer a chick-sized grit. It really depends on the size of your chickens. As they start to grow more, you're going to want to offer them an adult-sized grit. Just make sure that whichever grit you do offer, they're able to swallow it. Okay, that's key. That what they do is they eat the grit, and then it helps them digest as it, you know, goes through their digestive tract and into their gizzard. Now, something else you can do for a little bit of fun is you can offer them treats like mealworms, bugs, earthworms. They're going to find these outside anyways, but if they're in a tractor, you know, as you go along and maybe you are a gardener, so you have all sorts of weeds and stuff like that in your garden, you can offer them as a treat, just making sure that you're offering them plants and things to eat, you know, treats and yummy stuff that's actually edible for them. For example, tomato leaves are one thing that you should not be giving them. Stay away from potato peels, that sort of thing. But if you are digging in your garden and you find some grubs, for example, you can pull them out and give them to your chickens, and they love those. They go bananas over those. Now, the next thing you're probably wondering is when can you let them outside? And if your chicks were hatched under a hen, they're already outside. But if you're like me and you like to make sure that your chicks are in a safe environment until they're big enough to go outside, then you're probably wondering when is the appropriate age. The answer is when they're fully feathered, they can go outside. And if it's a warm area and it's a very warm day, if you have some chicks that aren't quite fully feathered out yet, then you can let them go outside. But I would make sure that it's at least 80 degrees outside. If they don't have all their feathers and it's lower than that, I would just keep them, you know, wherever you're keeping them, if you're keeping them in your house or your garage or wherever. But you can start letting them out once they're fully feathered. Now, the thing here, though, is just make sure that you watch the temperature. You know, even though they have all their feathers, you know, when they're, you know, say they're 10 weeks old, they're still susceptible to the cold. So if it's, you know, suddenly it gets very cold out, temperature, let's just say it drops to 40, consider taking them inside. And this is obviously situation dependent. If it's a bright sunny day and 40 degrees and they seem like they're okay, then they're okay. But if it's cold outside and they're huddling together, then consider bringing them into a warmer environment. Now, one thing I do suggest is keeping them in a warm place if it's a cold, wet day. Chickens, you know, they're not too bright when it comes to rain. Sometimes they will be out in the rain and the cold when they really shouldn't be. So they're dripping wet and, you know, it's 40 degrees outside and they're freezing and they're not coming in. Sometimes they're just not too bright like that. Pullets especially, and you know, young roosters, they're not too bright. So they will go outside and be wet and they'll be cold, and they really won't grasp that they need to come inside. And it's just a recipe for disaster. So if it's wet and if it's cold, especially particularly if it's freezing rain, suddenly there's a squall and it's freezing rain. But even if it's a 50 degree day or 40 degree day and there's a lot of rain out, I'm still not going to let them outside because I want to make sure that, you know, I spent all this time and all this effort raising these chicks. I want to make sure that they actually make it until their layers. So that's just sort of my rule of thumb. If it's cold and if it's wet outside, I just simply don't let them out. It's better safe than sorry. Now, even if you let them outside and it's a nice day outside, you're still going to need to give them a way to get out of the elements. Or let's say it's not even that nice of a day. Let's say it's just drizzling outside, but it's warm enough for them to go outside. You're still going to want to give them some place to go out in the elements. Now, obviously, if you're keeping your chickens in a coop with a run, this is less of an issue because they're going to automatically have a place to go. But if you are allowing them to forage all day, they're outside 24/7, and maybe they have a coop, maybe they don't, you're going to want to give them some place to go, and you're going to want to introduce them to that place. You know, they don't automatically get, oh, this is my coop, because it looks like a chicken coop. They might pick some place that's not as safe. So you're going to want to introduce them to the chicken coop. And the way you do that is by locking them in the coop in the coop area. You know, it's a coop with a run, I'm assuming. You're going to want to, you know, lock them in that area for a few days and just let them get in their heads that this is the safe place. This is where they're going to go. And they'll adapt very quickly to it. You know, I've had to move chickens around the property. We've moved the coop from one area to another area, or we, you know, decide we don't want to use one coop anymore. So we, you know, move everyone to another area. They pick up pretty quickly, especially if that's where they get fed. They pick up that's where their new house is. So you're going to want to introduce them to whatever, you know, sort of shelter you're giving them. But you definitely want to make sure that you are giving them some sort of shelter so that they can get out of the elements if the day turns to, rain or whatever. Now, if you're keeping them in a tractor during the day, you're going to want to make sure that you provide them some shade. And I, you know, just today, for example, I saw a picture on Facebook of a geodome coop, and it looked great. It looked really cool. But here's the thing. There was no place for these chickens to get out of the sun. Right? And it had a tiny little, you know, coop in there for them to go into. And it was all very cute and everything. But the bottom line is that chickens, you know, aren't necessarily going to put together, I'm hot, let's go into the coop. And even that, you know, who knows if the coop had a good ventilation and everything. So if you're going to keep them in a tractor, you're going to have to also give them some way to get out of the sun on hot days. And particularly with young chickens, they get dehydrated very quickly. So, you know, it can turn into a disaster very quickly if they're out in the sun and let's say it's 80 degrees outside and the sun's beating down on them. It can turn into disaster very quickly. So just make sure that you give them some place to go, some sort of shade, or, you know, put it under trees, or, you know, put a blanket on one side so that, you know, part of it's shaded. And obviously it goes without saying that you're going to need to give them water, consistent access to water. Just make sure that, you know, if you do keep them in a tractor, make sure that you are putting them in a place where they can have some access to shade. Now, one thing to take into consideration when you are letting your chicks outside is if they're very small, putting them in a tractor might be the best thing. Particularly with aerial predators, I've lost quite a few chicks and also some young bantams to aerial predators like hawks. And this was over the winter when the hawks are more likely to strike around here because, you know, their food source gets kind of scarce, so they go after chickens. It's less of an issue in the summer around here. But I've lost young chickens to hawks. And it's because they're small, they're easy for the hawk to pick up. So just make sure that if you are letting your chickens outside, remember that they are going to be smaller than the average chicken. They're not going to be as bright. You know, they're not going to be as alert as a adult chicken would be to predators in the area, particularly if you don't have a rooster. So either keep them in a run where they're safe or put them in a tractor where they're safe. Because at the same time, you really want to make sure that, you know, you've put all this effort into raising these chicks. It would just be tragic for a hawk or a coyote or whatever to get the advantage of all the hard work you've done. All right. And especially if the chickens are part of your family. I mean, nobody wants to lose a pet. So just make sure that you're allowing them to forage outside, but they're also safe. And just bear in mind that they are smaller. Now, at this point, especially if you live in a warmer area, you can actually transition your pullets and cockerels out into a coop. All right, so if you've had them inside because they're young chicks, you know, now is the time you can start to transition them outside into a coop. Again, just making sure that they understand where their house is, as long as they're fully feathered and able to withstand the cold. Now, the key thing to make sure here, though, is that you need to make sure that wherever you're keeping them is completely predator-proof. At this point in their lives, young pullets are not roosting yet. And I'm dealing with the same thing here. I have a number of chicks I picked up in March. You know, they're growing. They're probably about, you know, 10 weeks old at this point. They're fully feathered. They're able to be outside. They're having fun outside, but they don't roost yet. So what they do is at night, they just kind of huddle together on the ground. This makes them a prime target for any predator out there. If it can get into the coop, they're completely defenseless because a chicken's main defense at night is roosting high up. If they're on the ground, they're not doing that. They are a prime target for a predator. So just make sure that if you are keeping them outside at night, and if you are keeping them in a coop, that the coop is completely secure and that no predator can get in. Otherwise, you might actually lose your flock, and that would just be horrible. You don't want that. So now moving on a bit, a question I frequently get is, how do I introduce my young chickens to my older chickens, you know, the flock of older chickens? So now the thing to do here is to create a way for your older chickens to be able to see the younger chickens, but not be able to touch them. You know, so you do this for, you know, about a week, and then you start to mingle everybody. Now the thing here, though, is that you're probably still going to see a lot of pecking order disputes. Some chickens don't really have a problem with the chicks coming around, but in my experience, a lot of the older hens still want to make sure that they're, you know, cock of the walk, so to speak, and they will actually pick on the younger chicks, especially at feed time. So a couple things to watch out for here is that, one, if you are introducing chicks to the coop, you want to make sure that there's about 10 square feet per chicken in the coop in the run, all right? So this will cut down on a lot of the pecking order disputes that you might see otherwise. You know, if chickens are crammed into too small of an area, they're more likely to pick on each other. But that being said, you're still likely to see a lot of picking on each other as, you know, especially during feed time, for example. Something you can do to help, you know, discourage this behavior is actually giving your chicks places to hide. You know, and then eventually they're going to grow up to be the same size as the other chickens. In just a few short weeks, they will. And they'll be able to handle themselves a little bit better. But during the time that they're still small, if you offer them places to hide, such as, you know, plants to hide in, you know, different logs they can hide in, you know, whatever your imagination, you know, tells you to do, This will actually help them transition into being part of the flock. Something you should keep in mind is that they will get picked out a lot more during mealtime, and the older chickens will try to prevent the younger chickens from eating the food. And this is just a natural pecking order thing that goes on. So what I always tell people to do and what I suggest you do is have more than one feed station. And then if you happen to, for example, throw the grain on the ground, just make sure you spread it out. That way you can make sure that everyone's getting access to the food and has the same ability to get the food. And especially if you leave the feed in just one area, they're all going to flock to that area. Your younger chickens not only have less of a chance to actually get the food, even if they get into the middle of that to get the food, they might get squashed. They might get stepped on. It also leads to more problems of, for example, roosters, asserting their dominance, we'll just put it that way, with the younger chicks, and that can lead to all sorts of problems like them getting squashed, the roosters land on their back to mate with them, and again, that's just a dominance thing. It's not a sexual thing at all. It's literally just them asserting themselves as at the top of the pecking order. But what they will do is they will actually jump on the young chicken's back, and that can actually break their back and cause all sorts of problems. So if you just make sure that there's more than one feed station, I like to go with one feed station for every three chickens, and just make sure that if you do, throw the food on the ground, that it's spread out so that everyone can get to the food and they can get to the food safely. Now, if you do have chickens get into a pecking order dispute, we're dealing with a little bit with that right now. We have some young chicks, some young meat chickens that we have, and they're actually quite small compared to some of our roosters. The older chickens, they might start pecking at them, to assert dominance, and they might peck actually like wounds into their heads. So if the wound is deep, you can go ahead and flush it with a syringe with water. If it's not deep, you can also use a Q-tip to clean it up. At this point, you should use something like a triple antibiotic ointment, a comfrey salve, a violet leaf salve with rose. Manipur has a product called Hen Healer, something to keep the wound clean and to keep the bacteria out. So something with an antibiotic or antibacterial purpose to it will help make sure that wound doesn't become something that might kill the chick. Won't fester, won't get an infection or anything. Something that has, the Manipur product, for example, it has, it's called Hen Healer, and it has a blue tint to it. The purpose of it is to keep the chickens from pecking at it. Because if a chicken sees something like a wound, they're just going to keep pecking at it. Even if it's, other chickens and everything, they're just going to keep pecking at it. It's just kind of what they do. So something called Blue Coat, you can put that on it. And, the Blue Coat, some of these products, they're not intended necessarily to treat. They're more about, keeping chickens away from, stuff like Blue Coat. It's to keep chickens away from the wound. You're better off with a different kind of antibiotic ointment than something like Blue Coat. You can use something like over-the-counter triple antibiotic ointment, like I said, comfrey salve, that sort of stuff. But just something to keep it clean, to act as a skin protectant, and to keep the other chickens from pecking at it. So the final question we're going to talk about is, and I'm sure you have this question, is when are they going to start laying? You've been raising these pullets for the past 12 weeks. When are they going to start laying? And the answer to this is whenever they decide to start laying. Now, realistically speaking, they're going to start laying around 7 months to about a year. If they're not laying by a year, you got to look at things like what's their diet, and other stuff. But usually they'll start laying around 7 months. And this is also breed dependent. Some breeds start a little bit earlier. Some breeds start a little bit later. And it's also individual dependent. But that's typically around the time when they start laying is about 7 months, all right? Now, their first eggs might be small, and that's completely normal. We have some on the farm now that just started laying, and they lay these, eggs that are, tiny compared to, the ones we get from our production reds, for example. But that's perfectly normal. As she grows, as she finishes growing, and as, her system starts to become adjusted to the hormones and everything, she's going to start laying bigger eggs. Something else you might notice is that her first egg or two might be a soft shell egg. And again, that's completely normal. And if you don't know what a soft shell egg is, it's an egg, a yolk with an albumen that has just the membrane and it doesn't have a shell. And then again, that's just because in most cases, if it's the first one or two eggs, In most cases, this is just because her system is getting used to having to produce a shell and everything and ovulating and everything. If it's continually happening, then you're going to want to look at something like her diet. You know, is she getting enough protein? Is she getting enough calcium? That sort of thing. But if it's just the first one or two, that's completely normal. Now, once they start laying, you're going to want to give them a calcium supplement, such as oyster shells or toasted egg shells, that sort of thing. And you're going to really want to do this, again, just to make sure that your chickens have what they need to produce good quality eggshells. If you don't give it to them, you know, they might produce hard eggshells, but they're probably going to be drawing that calcium from their bones, for example. So it's really important just to give them a calcium supplement. You can put it in a bowl and just let them, you know, eat it as they want to and that sort of thing. At this point, once they start laying, you're going to want to transition them to a layer feed, and you're going to want to go with at least a 16% layer feed. You know, start them off at 16%. If they're still not laying very well, you can go as high as 22%. Some of my chickens actually do better on a 22% game bird feed, and I supplement that with a calcium supplement. But at a bare minimum, you want to start giving them a 16% layer feed. And also at this time, make sure that they have nesting boxes. And, you know, if they don't have the nesting boxes, they're going to lay on the ground. They're going to lay wherever they, you know, figure out that it's a good place to lay. So just be a little bit proactive and put a nesting box or two. I like to go with one nesting box for every three hens. And just be a little bit proactive and put them in their coop so that they know that that's where they can lay. And you can put stuff in it, for example, like straw or hay. You can put nesting box herbs in there, you know, lavender, roses, and that sort of thing, just so that they know that this is where they can lay. And they'll figure it out. You know, we had a whole number of pullets that we, you know, brand new pullets, and we got these nesting boxes from Harris Farms to try out. And, you know, all we did was start putting hay and straw, and we like to use hay. And just that's just because we have an abundance of hay on the property because we have horses and, you know, goats and everything. So we always have a bunch of hay. So we put hay in it and, you know, some of the nesting box herbs. And, you know, they figure it out. They're smart. They're smart enough to know where to lay. You know, they're not too smart when it comes to the weather and getting out of the rain. But when it comes to laying, it's all instinctual and they figure it out. So just, you know, be a little bit proactive and just make sure that they have a nesting box and that they know where it's at, in order just to make sure that those eggs are when they're laid, that they're clean and that they're, you know, they stay intact. They don't get, you know, broken or anything. All right. So it's this week's podcast. I hope that it has helped you. You can figure out a little bit how to transition your chickens from little itty-bitty chicks into growing pullets, and that you feel a little bit more prepared to help them transition into this next part of their life. Now, at this point, I want to invite you to grab a copy of my free book, The Better Egg, and you can grab that book at thefrugalchicken.com/thebetteregg. If you're wondering about the one thing that you can always feed your chickens that will help them be healthier, then you're going to find the answer to that in my book, The Better Egg. Again, that URL is thefrugalchicken.com/thebetteregg. Thanks again for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.